This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Judges, chapter 18, verse 26, where we left off last time. Judges chapter 18, verse 26. These last five chapters of the great book of Judges tell us what was going on with God's people when there was no God-appointed judge to set things in order, to keep things in order, and there was no one to teach them God's word. Their hearts, many times, were still toward God, but they would get their doctrine so very messed up, like the tribe of Dan last week. Now, verses 26 through 31, I'm going to give you a brief summary so we can get into the good stuff, okay? So, in these verses, the tribe of Dan, that's one of the 12 tribes, sent 600 warrior people down to a place called Laish and wanted to steal that territory. So they came down and stole the territory, killed all of the people of Laish, and they set up their camp there. But on the way to steal the land, God's tribe of Dan went by Micah's house, he was an Israelite, and stole his graven image and stole his phony priest. And then he goes down there to this new country, new city, Laish, changes the name to Dan, fancy that, and they set up the graven image with the priest there. So that's a summary of 18:26 through 31. And now we go to Judges chapter 19, verse 1. I am entitling this, The Secondary Wife. The Secondary Wife.
Judges chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days, when there was no king in Israel.
Okay, there was no godly appointed minister or godly king to tell the people what to do. No judge like Gideon.
And there was a certain Levite sojourning on the mountain of Ephraim.
Okay, now this is not the same Levite that went into Micah's house. Remember that story. This is a different one. All of the priesthood is supposed to be from the tribe of Levi. So there were a lot of Levite priests roaming around, shall we say, traveling evangelists, because the synagogue was closed, the temple was closed, the people were not worshiping God when there was not a judge there. So we're going to call this Levite the traveling evangelist.
Who took to him a concubine out of Bethlehem, Judah.
Now, when we hear the word concubine, I think most people think sort of a loose woman, a prostitute, that type thing. No, in the Hebrew, the word is paramour, and it means a secondary wife. What? A secondary wife. Well, in those times, it was okay to take a second wife. Now, what does this have to do with you? And why did I entitle this chapter, The Secondary Wife? In the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 3, 8, it says God divorced Israel. So, if there's a divorce, then that means there was a marriage, right? Now, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that these things happen to these people, the Levite and the concubine, in the Bible for an example for those of us at the end. Now, in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3, 6, world, Greek, Aeon, age, we were all with God. Ecclesiastes 12, 6 and 7. When you die, your spirit returns to God who gave it. If you return, you were there. We're in a spiritual body. And we were all spiritually wed to God. Don't think man and woman and sex and all of that. A true marriage is a marriage of the heart and the spirit. So we were all, shall we say, spiritually the wife of God in our spirit. Everybody understand?
Yeah.
Okay. But then, Isaiah 14, along comes a beautiful anointed cherub, so charismatic, so talented, so gorgeous. He said, I will be God. And he wooed most of God's children away toward him. They went a-whoring after Lucifer, who's also the serpent, the dragon, the devil, the Antichrist. And then they were not any longer married to God. There was a little small group that stayed with God, and Romans 8, 28-29-30 says God justified that group, said they're not guilty. So they remain the wife. So all of those who betrayed God, and many of you listening to me, you did, and went after the gorgeous one, in other words, you divorced God. So, therefore, you're not married to him anymore. Now, we know that God tore up that first earth age and brought in the second earth age. And, of course, he's going to give everybody a second chance, which is what we're talking about, to be the wife again. See, the secondary wife would be you if you're not an elect, but you are saved, you've accepted Jesus, and you're going to get a chance to marry God the second time at the marriage supper of the Lamb. When Jesus returns, he's the bridegroom and you're the bride. You'll be the secondary wife. You get to marry him twice, second time. Got it? Okay. Yeah. However, we're going to find tonight that the Antichrist comes first. He's still that Lucifer. He's going to again try to deceive you, seduce you, so that you will not marry Jesus, but that you will marry him again. So you see, not the elect, but all the other multitudes of saved Christians, this is a test. Will you again marry the wrong bridegroom?
Verse 2, and his concubine played the whore.
Okay, bad translation. In the Septuagint, which is the Greek version of the original Hebrew translation, it reads, she did him no whore, but she left him. The concubine, the paramour, the second wife, did not go out with another man, but she left the priest.
Against him, and went away from him to her father's house in Bethlehem, Judah, and was there 4 whole months.
Okay, in the story, in the natural, she was homesick for her father, so she went there and stayed with him 4 months. Now, in biblical numerics, 440, 400 is a time of testing. It's probation. So when God brought in the second earth age and said, I'm going to send each one of you out one time in the flesh, and I'm going to give you a chance to accept my son Jesus, who will come and pay your sin debt, and it's a time of testing. We're going to see, and I'm also going to let some of you be here when the Antichrist comes. I'm going to test you to see if you're going to stay true to the end so you can really be my secondary wife. So, the saved part of the body of Christ, who's not the elect, which is the majority, the elect are very few, just a few sent out in each generation to bring forth the oracles of truth, the oracles of light, to pronounce that word. And so, the concubine, the secondary wife, you, if you're saved, meaning you are going to get a chance to marry Jesus a second time when he comes, unless you fall off to the first phony one again, then you're on probation. This is just a test.
Verse 3, then Haman, their Levite, arose and went after her to speak freely unto her, and to bring her again, having his servant with him, and a couple of asses.
Okay, now this Levite now becomes a type of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, not only of the tribe of Judah, but the tribe of Levi. Knowing all of this, so God's plan was to send everybody out who betrayed him, send the elect out in each generation to teach, so you'll hear what you're hearing now. And then Jesus says, I'm coming, and I'm going after the secondary wife. She's gone astray from me, but I'm going to go and woo her and bring her back home to Father's house. So that's why Jesus came. He came to pay the sin debt, and he died on the cross, and he shed his blood for the remission of sin. And so many of you said, oh, I believe that. I repent. I receive Jesus. And so now you have the potential to marry him the second time, since you're divorced right now because you betrayed him then. But are you going to be deceived by the good-looking, soon-coming Antichrist, who's going to call himself Christ?
And she brought him into her father's house. And when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. Verse 4, and his father-in-law retained him.
Okay. The father-in-law was glad to see the son-in-law. All right, everything's happy here. Now, this word retain in the Hebrew means binds him with ropes or like handcuffs. So it doesn't mean that. what it means, the father-in-law is going to psychologically try to get the Levite, the traveling evangelist, to stay. He knows that there's no law in the land, that it's dangerous to travel, and he knows that if his daughter goes back with a Levite, that it might be 2 or 3 years before he'll see her. If he could have his way, the concubine would stay with him, and the priest would be with him, and they'd be happy ever after.
And she abode with him 3 days.
All right. So the son-in-law says, okay, I'll stay with you 3 days. You know what they say about company and fish after 3 days?
Yeah.
You know about that? Okay, it's 3 days. Now, you're going to talk about times, dispensation of times. The days here represent the 7 trumps. We're now in the 5th trump, which is a time of learning. It's about to go down at sundown. It'll be a night. It'll be the 6th dispensation of time. The Antichrist is coming. And when we say night, it won't be dark. It's just that there won't be any truth. And of course, the 7th trump is the day of the Lord, the Jesus Christ returns. The 1st dispensation of time, there was no law. Law is the word. And that was discovered in Genesis 1:26. That word Adam there means mankind in general. God created the 6-day creation, red, yellow, brown, black, and white. God said it's very good. The 2nd dispensation of time is found in Genesis chapter 2, when God created a specific man named Adam, Eth Ha'adam in the Hebrew, through whom Jesus would come. But there was no law. There was no word. That's why many times they would marry their sisters or brothers or whatever. And then the time after that, there was no law. That's the 3 dispensations of time. That's past.
So they would eat and drink and lodge there. And he abode with him 3 days. Verse 5, and it came to pass on the 4th day.
Ah, it's the 4th day. Now, I told you 4 is number probation of testing. So if you're going to have a test, there has to be that you studied to take the test, right? Max and Olivia got a test. It might be some subject you studied to be tested on. So that means that in the 4th dispensation, God gave us the word. And God gave it to Moses on Mount Sinai. God wrote it with his finger, the Pentateuch, the 1st 5 books of the Bible, and the 10 commandments. So where there is no law, there is no transgression. But where there is a law, then to transgress the law is sin.
When they arose early in the morning, that he rose up to depart.
Okay, he's doing right. He says, okay, I've got to get my 2nd wife back home to my house. That's the right thing to do.
And the damsel's father said unto his son-in-law, comfort thine heart with a morsel of bread.
Oh, you're going to need some food on that long trip riding your donkeys there. Have a little brunch here.
And afterward go your way. Verse 6, and they sat down and did eat and drink, both of them together. For the damsel father had said unto the man, the Levite, be content, I pray thee, and tarry all night, and let thine heart be merry.
Oh, listen, I got a fresh bottle of wine. Why don't you just have lunch? Why don't we just rest here one more day, spend the night, and then tomorrow morning you can get up. In other words, eat, drink, merry, wait too late.
7, and when the man rose up to depart, his father-in-law urged him before he lodged there again. And he arose early in the morning of the 5th day.
Okay, it's the 5th day now. In biblical numerics, 5 is a number of grace. Grace is unmerited favor. See, you and I are now living in the dispensation of grace. We have an open window of time here since Jesus paid the sin debt, all right up to this moment, to accept Jesus, to repent of our sins. But that window is closing because the day changes at sundown, and at sundown the Antichrist will be here, the 6th dispensation of time, and then it will be too late. So now we're under grace, unmerited favor, and it's by grace we are saved. Don't wait too late. Don't wait for the sun to go down. Don't wait for the 6th trumpet to sound.
To depart. And the damsel's father said, comfort thine heart, strengthen thyself.
Oh, you need a little strength here. You can't get out there. Come on, let's have some brunch and let's have some lunch.
I pray thee. And they tarried till afternoon.
Must have been some good cook. probably like Angela and Scott. I mean, so then here it is. Look at that. They eat, drink, and be merry.
And they did eat, both of them. 9. And when the man rose up to depart.
But this time he says, well, got to go now. But good Lord, it's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Don't forget the next day would start at sundown. And sundown is the sixth dispensation of time. See, that's where we are now. So see, you don't want to wait too late to do what God tells you to do. Better get at it.
He and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law said unto him, behold, now the day draweth toward evening. I pray thee, tarry all night. Behold, the day groweth to an end. Lodge here that thy heart may be merry, and tomorrow get you early on your way.
Now the father-in-law is not bad. He just wants him to stay there. He perceives that it's not safe out there. It was very, very dangerous. You were taking your life in your hand to go into the streets.
That thou mayest go home. But the Levite would not tarry that night.
Not this time. There's a time and a season. There's an appointment.
But he rose up and departed and came over against Jubas.
All right, so he and the secondary wife, the concubine, the servant, with those two asses carrying all of her stuff, got to a place called Jubas, which was a very heathen place run by the Jebusites, very bad. Now, later on, King David would be sent to this earth. Little David, play your harp, David and Goliath, would become King David, would go in there and conquer Jebus, clean it up, make it holy, and call it Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the city of peace. And God would fall so much in love with it that God would say, I'm going to make my eternal home Jerusalem. Now, he's going to do a little makeover when he brings his heaven to Jerusalem down. But that's where God's going to live. But right now, it's packed with heathen.
Which is Jerusalem. And there were with him 2 asses saddled, his concubine, and also was with him 11. And when they were by Jebus, the day was far spent. And his servant saith unto him, Master, come, I pray thee, and let us turn in unto the city of the Jebusites and lodge in it.
Now the servant realized it's getting dark and they need to have some place to stay. He said, why don't we just go in here to Jebus and find us a place and spend the night here?
And his master said unto them, we will not turn aside hither into the city of a stranger that is not of the children of Israel. We will pass over to Gibeah.
We will pass over to Gibeah. Now for homework, and make a note right there in your Bible, I want you to read, not now, but for homework, Hosea 9, 6 through 9. Hosea 9, 6 through 9. It's a prophecy, and it says, as in the days of Gibeah, so shall it be at the end times. Now we're going to find out how it was in Gibeah. Gibeah was in the tribe of Benjamin, so that's one of the 12 tribes. Shouldn't you feel safe in the church? Shouldn't you feel safe? Well, what's going on in Gibeah that's going on in America now?
14. And they passed on and went their way, and the sun went down upon them.
Okay. Sixth dispensation of time. At the sixth trump, the Antichrist appears. It's called a time of darkness. It won't be dark literally, but it just means that no truth will be spoken except the two witnesses and those of us who are the elect, as long as we're able to do that. In other words, the truth is hidden. But the Antichrist is going to say he's Christ. He'll pay your mortgage if you marry him, and he'll buy you a new car and make everything wonderful. Peace and safety cause craft to prosper. It's a big, big, big disguise.
And they were by Gibeah, which belongeth to Benjamin.
See, the tribe of Benjamin should be safe.
15. And they turned aside there to go and lodge into Gibeah. And he went his way and sat him down in the street.
Okay, what he did here was custom. The 12 tribes always had this philosophy. when you see a stranger, a traveler, sitting out there in the streets and it's nighttime, you take them into your home. The book of Titus, chapter 1, says that a person cannot even serve in the church, I mean even if you've got the office of the janitor, unless you have the gift of hospitality. My point today would be, if you knew there was a hurricane and there was a person there that was in great danger, you would invite them into your home. You would make sure that. You would not watch your homeless people walk out in the rain and the torrents. It was God's command, bring the stranger in. Now, we don't bring their gods in. So he's sitting there. He assumes that the tribe of Dan would follow this law, and they would see him and invite them into their house for night.
Of the city, for there was no man that took them into his house to lodging. And behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field.
Here comes Farmer Brown. Okay, he's going to bring some groceries to the produce place. Okay, he's been in the field. Jesus says the field is the world. This is a mature Christian who's been sowing and harvesting, and he sees the traveler.
At evening, which was also of Mount Ephraim, and he sojourned in Gibeah, that the men of the place were Benjamites. 17, and when he lifted up his eyes, he saw a wayfaring traveler and a man in the street.
A traveler.
City. And the old man said, whither goest thou, and whence comest thou?
Where are you going, and where did you come from?
And he said unto them, we're passing from Bethlehem, Judah, toward the side of Mount Ephraim. From thence am I, and I went to Bethlehem, Judah. But now I'm going to the house of the Lord.
So, the traveling salesman, excuse me, the traveling missionary there, preacher, we'll say the evangelist, says, well, I came from Ephraim, from Micah's house. He called Micah's house the house of the Lord, but we learned last week that Micah is a ray. And I came all the way from the Lord's house to get my concubine, my secondary wife, and now I'm taking my secondary wife back home to the Lord's house. Okay?
And there is no man that receiveth me to house.
Nobody's invited us in, and we don't understand that. We're the church folks. You'd think you'd be safe in the church, wouldn't you?
19, yet there was straw and provender for our asses.
I've got food for my donkeys.
And there is bread and wine also for me, and my handmaid and the young man.
And I've got enough food, and I've got wine for... You notice he didn't call her now the secondary wife, a concubine. He calls her the handmaiden. When you and I truly fall in love with Jesus and our hearts are wed to him, even before the marriage supper of the Lamb, we become his handmaiden. Here am I, Lord. What would you have us do? You just can't do enough. We want to be Jesus' hands.
Which is with thy servants. There is no want of anything. 20, and the old man said, peace be with thee.
Yahweh Shalom.
Howsoever, let all thy wants lie upon me.
Let me feed you and let me take care of you tonight. Come and stay with me.
Only lodge not in the street.
They're dangerous.
21, so he brought him into his house and gave provender unto the asses.
Fed the animals.
And they washed their feet.
That was already, if you were going to be hospitable, the first thing you do is wash their feet. Now, the next time you have some company, say, may I wash your feet, please? But the roads were dusty, and so that was it.
And they'd eat and drink.
And they would eat, and they would all drink. You'd drink, you'd be merry. So now everything looks nice, doesn't it?
22. Now, as they were making their heart merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial.
Uh-oh. Belial is a devil. And in the Hebrew, the sons of Belial mean lawless ones, worthless ones. The law is God's word. And anyone who does not have God's word is worthless. Now, It's the sixth dispensation. The sun has gone down. So now we have these howling hyenas, these jackals. These represent the fallen angels that are coming with Satan. When Satan comes so beautiful in the sky, saying peace and safety, and I'm Messiah, craft to prosper, peace on earth. And the beautiful fallen angels, they're coming to a place like this, and they woo lonely women. But we're going to find they also like men, as it was in the days of Gibeah, so shall it be. Hosea 9, 6 through 9. Here they are, lawless, worthless. And now we have the Antichrist presence in the sixth dispensation.
Beset the house round about, and beat at the door, and spoke to the master of the house, saying, bring forth the man that came into thy house, that we may know him.
Bring forth that traveling missionary there, that traveling evangelist, in other words, the Levite. The word know is very bad. It's to have sexual intimacy with him. You know, this happened in Genesis 19. God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for just such stuff. And he was trying to get Lot out of there. And God sent some angel of the Lord to visit Lot. And they were in Lot's house. And the sons of Belial there beat upon the door and said, bring out the angels. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be. They were marrying and giving in marriage with the fallen angels, Genesis 6. The fallen angels are coming there, lookers, and they're going to woo the women, and they're going to woo the men. That's why it says, women, have your head covered, not with hair or a hat, and the same thing with you, men, but covered with Christ, that you be not seduced.
Verse 23. And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them, and said unto them, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man has come into my house.
Now, Farmer Brown here means well, but he's trying to negotiate with evil people. You never negotiate with the devil. You never negotiate with demons. You never negotiate with anything that is their whole purpose is to destroy you. Don't make a deal. He's trying, but it's pointless.
Do not this folly.
He did know. He remembered enough of the Bible to know that that was an aberration. Men with men and women with women. Romans doing that which is unseemly. I want to say to all of the lesbians and homosexuals listening, I've had you in my school, and I know you as people. I've been in theater with you. And I love you as people, but God calls what you do an abomination. If you would just go use a little common sense, go take your clothes off, and you know he made us male and female. God bless you. We don't hate you. We're not homophobic about you, but God calls it an aberration.
Hold, here is my daughter, Anith, and his concubine.
Now, look at there. They had the law. It was like the 11th commandment to protect your guest with your life. So he says, take my daughter, take the concubine.
I will bring out now and humble ye them.
Abuse them.
And do with them what seemeth good unto you.
Do whatever you want with them, but please protect this guest.
But unto this man do not so vile a thing.
Now, there's noble, but there's a little bit overly noble.
25, but the men would not hearken unto him.
They didn't want that. They wanted the Levite. Bring him out. Bring him out.
So the man took his concubine,
the Levite,
and brought her forth.
All right. Now, the traveling evangelist, the preacher, the pastor in the pulpit, does mean well. And so we'll travel over oceans, as Jesus said, to convert a person. And we get them saved. And then Jesus says, but you make them more of a proselyte. You proselyte them. You make them more of a sinner, a child of hell than ever before. If the saved person is under the wrong teaching and they have not been taught the chronological order of events, that Antichrist comes first, then what the traveling evangelist or pastor or preacher has done, you have taken the one who's to be the second wife, the saved person, not the elect, and you have actually given them, push them into the arms of Antichrist, although you don't mean it. You see what misteaching can do?
Yes.
So the traveling evangelist pushes the concubine, the second wife, into the hands of the Antichrist people, the fallen angels.
Unto them. And they knew her and abused her all the night.
Okay. You say abuse? Well, then is the Antichrist going to abuse all these Christians who are going to worship him? Remember, all the world will go after the Antichrist and half the body of Christ, five are wise and five are foolish. Here's the greatest abuse you can ever do to anyone. It's for you to be in the pulpit, to be the traveling evangelist, the pastor, the priest, and then you push someone by the wrong teaching or not by the right teaching right into the arms of their pseudo-love of the Antichrist. That is overwhelming abuse. Abuse. If I lead you wrong, I have abused you. And so the saved second wife, the body of Christ, will be abused all that reign of Antichrist. Not raped, not beaten. That's not what it means. Oh, the abuse is going to be wonderful. He'll pay your mortgage and you can have a new car and you can have a new job and peace and safety and joy. Hallelujah. But it's the wrong bridegroom.
Until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they...
Psalm 22, Hebrew, Ajalis Shehar, the dawning of a new day. Now that Antichrist reign is not going to last forever. It's been shortened for the elect's sake, Mark 13. And the seventh trump, it's a new day. It's the day of the Lord. And Peter says a day with the Lord is as a thousand years. That means the seventh trump, Jesus is coming, and that's a long day.
Her goal, 26.
So you see, the secondary wife does not have to be seduced all that time if she would only wait for Jesus like the elect are going to do.
Came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where she lay until it was light. 27. And her Lord...
That's the Levite man, the traveling evangelist.
Rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go away. And behold, the woman, his concubine, was fallen down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said,
the Christians who are to be the secondary wife, who will be deceived when they hear the very elect tell the story, and you know, whatever God's going to say through the elect, they're going to cry for the rocks and mountains to fall on them. They want to die because they have worshipped. They have again, just like in the first earth age, married the wrong bridegroom.
To her, up, let us be going.
Nice guy here, get up.
But none answered.
None answered. Because the concubine was dead. To worship the Antichrist, even though you're saved now, before you wait for Jesus, is the death of the soul, the second death. Many people who love Jesus now, but are going to marry the Antichrist, and when you wed him, that's the death of the soul, the second death. God bless you. We'll pick it up right there next time. I hate to leave you with that cliffhanger. But it's time now for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand this beautiful Word of God. And I want to welcome the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good. That is a cliffhanger right there.
That's a cliffhanger.
That is. Okay, our first question tonight, is the amen important when we pray?
Amen is very important. It means in the Hebrew, truth, truth. We're studying Psalms on Wednesday night, and this coming Wednesday, we're going to complete what is called the Exodus Book of Psalms, and David will end it, amen, amen. But in Hebrew, it's truth, truth. In other words, it's a second witness to what you've been praying. It's the exclamation point on the beautiful prayer. Yes.
Yes, all right. And our next question, Does the hysterical blaring of bad news from the media, can it affect our health?
Oh boy, those howling jackals, the media, sometimes I want to say medium. Yes, it's toxin, poison. Death and life's in the power of the tongue. Words have power. In other words, word make a sound, and sound produces movement. When the media cries, fear, death, you're going to die, every one of you going to die, fear, fear, fear. Fear is a demon, and fear, the demon, takes over the people. You should hear some calls I get, total good people, but fear is a demon. Fear is a demon. Fear is a demon. And so that sound coming out through the land, they should tell us about hurricanes, but we need every 15 minutes a man or woman of God anointed to say, but God. Yeah. And then, because we do have power over the demonic winds and waves. We can say, peace be still. But when you've got all of the media howling jackals all over the place saying and yelling fear, and you probably only got just a handful of Christians. Most Christians are just as afraid as everybody else. So it's we're outnumbered there.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, they make you sick. Turn that news off. Get the news and then turn it off and go hear God's word.
It is. Amen. It's poison. It's poison.
Poison. They make you sick.
People were even coming in before the hurricane into my shop, and they were speaking death. This time it's going to get, and I would say, you speak life in here.
Speak
life over your dwelling. Speak life over your family. Right.
That's right. And see, death and life is in the power of the tongue. So they speak disaster, and they speak death, and that's why some stand, and that's why some fall.
Yep.
I don't know about you, but I want to stand. Well, David left his stuff in the car, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. It's time now for Scott's stuff.
We must be made just, walking in holiness of our Lord's ways. Our path must be made straight, and our house made clean, in order to have legal right, to have charge in the Lord's courts. To judge, we must be judged righteous. Zechariah 3:7. I will give you places to walk among these who stand here, if you walk in my ways, and if you keep my commandments.
That is so beautiful. Thank you, Scott Larson. That is absolutely beautiful. Thank you very much. Now, I'm going to pray for all of you who are sick, but just before I do, let's get anyone saved who is lost. Jesus died for you and loves you. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Please pray this prayer with me and mean it if you're not saved. See, now's your chance to become the secondary wife, okay? Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Save me.
Save me.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in your word.
Grow me in your word.
And use me.
And use me.
To increase your territory.
To increase your territory.
Jesus is Lord.
Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Truth, truth. In a few minutes, my announcer will give you my telephone number. And breaking news, my phone just got back on, so you can call me. The devil really fights my phone, so if you've been trying, I'm sorry, just keep calling. It's fixed again. And call and let me know that you were saved. But now let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the mighty name and the power of Jesus, I ask that, O Son of Righteousness, you will arise with healing in your wings. And I ask that you will pour in the oil and the wine. I speak to emotional wounds, to wounds of the heart, broken hearts that are crying and weeping for their own problems or for the problems of others or just for a dying world. We ask that let not the heart be troubled, that the person will be at peace, Yahweh Shalom, in Jesus' name. We speak in Jesus' name that all pain cease in Jesus' name, pain of the heart and pain of the body. We call forth the vertebrae in the back from the brain stem right on down the spine, that all nerves be unpinched, that the muscles relaxed, and that the spine be perfectly aligned, and where there is bone deterioration, that that bone be built up there in Jesus' mighty name in the backbone and spine. Lower back pain stop in Jesus' name. Shoulders relax in Jesus' name. Deaf ears hear, epitaph in Jesus' name. Blind eyes see. Feet be healed. Blood pour out it through the veins, and that perfect circulation pouring through the veins, perfect circulation of the blood. The stomachs be healed, and kidneys and backbone and spine, thyroids, vocal cords, in the name of Jesus, be healed. He sent his word and healed you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
If you got touched, then also feel free to call and tell me that, and leave your message when my announcer gives you my telephone number. Well, it's time now for your love line of the week. from God's heart to my heart to your heart. Now, we're now memorizing the scripture. The last time I gave you Genesis 3:15, and I hope you memorized it. I want to tell you, when the devil hits, you don't have time to grab your Bible. You just have to have these scriptures. The way you live the Christian life is to say the word with great power and anointing 24 hours a day. Every answer comes by the word of God, not speculation, not what somebody said, but the word of God. And so you want to memorize it. So your memory verse this week is Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah 7:14. And this shall be a sign unto you. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. I do hope you were blessed. Remember this about Jesus, Yeshua. His name is called the Word of God. And Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Come on Sundays, 5 p.m. to my school, Word and Prayer. Wednesdays, 6:30 p.m., Word and Prayer. Each Thursday from 12 noon to 2 p.m., Scott and I will meet here and pray for you. And this is Sherry Medlock saying, I love you. God bless you. God make his face to shine upon you. And until next time, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
When I want to run away, ashamed of mistakes I've made, I try to hide my face from your sight. That's when you call my name and wrap me within your grace, hidden in your my eyes. You love me as I am, not as I should be, with a love that conquers shame. Jesus, you are saving me.
when all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. Realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, I realize just how beautiful you are and how great you are. Are for me. Oh, how he loves us. Sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest.
I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way.
Heaven meets
earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yeah, he loves.
You are listening to WMIE, Brevard's very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
Keep our eyes on you. We will keep our